That's profound.
Yes, sir.
Peter's miracle happened before the storm was through. Boy, that's good. Two things quickly before I forget. Ladies, your prayer meeting will be every Sunday after the morning Sunday school hour, and it will be in my office. I will not be there, but the office will be open for y'all to use, and so you can gather there. It's not as far for you to walk back there. It's air-conditioned. It's very nicely kept, and so you can go there. Also, I have been asked many times, and up to this point, I haven't had to say anything about it. The Lord has provided very graciously and greatly for us to be able to get where we are as far as the building is concerned. We are fixing to have electric panels. We're fixing to have to do water and sewer hookup, and electrical hookups, and not the least of which is air conditioning. We do live in Florida. And so because of that, then some of you have asked when there is a need to let you know. Well, there is a need. And so if you would like to pray about that, that's what I'd like for you to do. And if you want to help us as far as the building is concerned, we have not borrowed any money. Everything that we have right now is paid for, and we have enough to get us still quite a ways down the road. But we can forecast, I say we, Brother Woodard can forecast and pass that on to me that, you know, the next few phases are going to be pretty expensive. Probably see glass doors and windows will be finished up this week coming, probably even by Wednesday or maybe Thursday at the very latest, and then stairs. And about that, and then I'm through. You can work your way around the staircases that are being built there, but I do not have, or we do not have, retaining walls or railings or any of that up there, and I'm asking you to please stay off the second floor. I know it's tempting, especially if you're a kid. When I walked in there today, if I was a kid, I'd be like, oh man, there's this gigantic staircase in the back, and it just literally says you've got to go and see what's up there. But a big portion of that up there does not have any railings, and all it takes is just one slip or one mess up. So I'm asking you, would you please keep your kids from up there? And Miss Bridget's painting is completed. We're going to cover that up before much longer just to protect it. I'm a little worried that some yahoo in the neighborhood might decide to ride by and plant his name on it or something. And that's, to me, that's thousands of dollars worth of painting. You won't find a Rembrandt that is done with that care and concern. And I know I'm embarrassing Miss Bridget, but it's an absolutely phenomenal job on the painting and the things that have been done. So I really do appreciate that very much. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, and thinking about Mother's Day, and thinking along the lines of the embodiment of what love really is. And opposed to picking a woman, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, I chose to pick God's mind on paper. And I do recognize that we generally have a tendency to try to make this how we are to feel toward other people, but this has to do with our attitude toward God and how we ought to feel about Him. I'm going to read you a few verses, and then we'll pick the chapter apart verse by verse here, give you something a little bit expository, and hopefully it'll help you in your walk with the Lord. The Bible says this in verse number 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. For though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Brother Larry, you pray and ask the Lord to help us, would you please?
Father, we bow our heads this morning. We're grateful in the name of and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the shed blood. Thank you for Calvary, for the tomb, for the cross, Lord, and for you rising again, Lord. Thank you for you being our intercessor. Lord, thank you for all that you are of us, being our comforter. Lord, help us not to take for granted a place here because of what you've done, a place to come and worship and meet this body of believers. Help us to be careful to remember, Lord, that even this morning how you line up, you orchestrate the songs, you set everything up, you use folks, men and women alike, to sing, Lord, to lift you up and to help our hearts as we get started for the meeting. Yea, you gave our preacher, your preacher, a message, a Lord, that we'll get to hear from your word. We thank you for that. We thank you in advance for what we're going to hear, Lord. And we have to ask that our hearts will be clear this morning. We've heard that in the first hour. God, the importance of that, of a good, clean filter. God, help us to set things aside for just a little while, a little spell, that we might be able to take in the Word of God. Not to move it over our shoulder to the left or to the right, but to take it in individually, personally, Lord, that you might use it in our lives. Not to help us shine or to help us to be somebody, but Lord, help us do something that might glorify you and lift you up and point you out better through our walk and our conversation and all that we are and do. We ask for help with that. We're a needy people, Lord. Our preacher, the same, he's a man that's just used of you. So we ask for help for him. Lord, we try to always ask, Lord, as everyone would pray for our preacher, Lord, but we ask this morning, this hour, for a special help with this message. I pray, God, your power might rest on him. We believe that's true. We believe that it is. But we pray, Lord, that your power might rest on him right now. I pray you'd use him in a mighty way. I pray you'd open his mouth. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd keep blinders on him, that he'd be focused on you, and he plows straight ahead, God, and be used of you, and say only what you want said. And we give you all the glory for what we hear and what's said and done here in this meeting. And we ask for your help in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Don't want to take for granted that you're here today, and I'll do my best to get you out. I know many of you have dinner plans and things for a special day. I think that if I was going over to Brother Sam's and heard about the cheese grater, that I probably would just stop and get a donut, maybe. I will commend you on the fact that at least it's camouflaged, it's in lasagna. So, 1 Corinthians 13, written to the absolute most carnal church that existed. They were always bragging on their gifts. They were always talking about other people. 1 Corinthians 13, the number 13, not by happenstance or a mistake, because 13 in the Bible is the number for rebellion. We all know we have that maverick side to us that doesn't like to be told what to do, and that's why most people try, when they come to this passage, to just read past it as it's some individual thing that can't ever be accomplished. But I don't think the Lord would have put it in the Bible if it couldn't be accomplished. As a matter of fact, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter number 5 is love. But charity is the correct word. You say, why? Charity is something that's dispensed at somebody else's expense. Charity is a free handout. Charity is something that is always looking to do something for somebody else. There's a multitude of things here that reminds me of a good mother. I see the Lord's mind on paper here, and the Lord definitely says to you that when mother and father forsake you, that the Lord will take you up. That means he can become both mother and father to you. That means he's got the disciplinary side, but he also has the loving side. To be able to have the right kind of love, the right kind of balance, you have to go in your mind over to Luke chapter number 7. You don't have to turn there now, but you remember there was a Pharisee and a prostitute there. Remember that the Lord was going to the Pharisee's house to have dinner with him there, and the Pharisee misses an opportunity to have or to break bread with the Lord, because all of a sudden this woman of ill repute, this prostitute, comes in. And when she comes in and sort of in a sense interrupts the Pharisee's party there, and she's sitting at the dinner table. Don't know who let her in the door. don't know anything except the fact that the Lord obviously knew that she was coming. In his foreknowledge, he would have known that. And she comes in there, and as soon as she comes in, she immediately starts dispensing oil out of the alabaster box. Her tears begin to pour down her face. She washes his feet with her tears and dries them off with her hair. And the only thing that the Pharisee could see, even though Jesus, the Messiah, was seated at the table, listen carefully, was the fact that Jesus was being touched by a woman of ill repute. The Pharisees' whole meeting was, oh, look at that. If he was really a man of God, a real true prophet, if he really was the Messiah, he would know whom this is that toucheth him. That's what it says. There's something, though, that's missing if you're not careful when you read the passage. The Lord is going to point out what the Pharisee is missing. It is certainly not the ability to know or to understand the law. It is certainly not the ability to know what the commandments say in reference to those that are doing things the wrong way. It is without a doubt, without any question, that he knows what sin is. You might ask yourself the question why it is that he would know this kind of information about this woman, but that question remains unanswered. But here's what the Lord says. He said, Simon, let me ask you a question if I could. And the Pharisee said, say on. Absolutely, lay it on me. Be glad to hear it. I've been waiting for you to ask me a question. He said, well, you know, because when you ask someone a question, oftentimes you're conceding that maybe they know something you don't know. And the Pharisee maybe probably lifts his head, throws his chest out a little bit, and he says in front of a multitude of individuals there, including the woman, he says to him, he said, let me ask you a question. And he gives the parable there of the individual that's been forgiven a little bit and that's forgiven a lot. And he says to him, he said, which one of them do you think should be the most gracious? And he says, without question, though, the man that was forgiven the most. He said, you see this woman? You read it when you get home today. You know what he said? He said, you know why this woman's here? Because the Bible said she loveth much. She loveth much? Yeah, she loved him so much, she recognized her own sin and her need for forgiveness. And what you're missing in this passage is, Simon, you're missing the fact that you don't love like you ought to love. You know, I find oftentimes a mother's love tends to be a bit abstract. Sometimes it's inconsistent, but oftentimes it's has a way of covering a multitude of sins. You know, I've had mothers who've come into my office way back a lot of years ago, back in the day, and happen to have their son or their daughter who's done something sometimes horrifically bad, and have the mama come in and say, but that's my child, that's my son, that's my daughter, and I understand what they did, but I still love them. Sometimes a mother's love is inexplicable. But isn't that how the Lord's love is? Isn't that how at times you just heard it about, he loves me when I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing? I mean, he does love me in the good times, but he loves me in the bad times. A lot similar to a mother's love there, that sometimes a mother looks at a child and says, well, yeah, they're messed up as a soup sandwich. And clinically, technically, I understand everything that you're saying about that. And you are correct about that on the technical side. But on the emotional side, it's still my boy. On the emotional side, it's still my child. I'm not saying that mothers necessarily ignore the wrongdoing of their kids, but oftentimes that love, that emotion overpowers that correctness, that inability for us to see. I remember when the Apostle Peter was hauled up on the beach. And he sat there and the Lord stirring the ashes, maybe there, the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, whatever the food is that's there on the thing. And the Lord says something really strange. And what he says to Peter is, he said, Peter, do you know me? Peter, have you been with me? Peter, have you been faithful to me? Peter, have you ever not done what I asked you to do? No, he doesn't say that. It's odd that the Lord of all things, that the Lord of everything that he can say, while people are so glued to the meaning behind the betrayal and Peter going fishing, isn't it odd that the Lord said, Peter, there's an element that you're missing that caused you to get out, that caused you to desert, that caused you to deny, and that has now caused you to go back to what you were doing before I ever called. Peter, there's something missing and you need it. Because just being able to be committed won't carry you through the storms in life.
Right.
He says to him, Peter, I have a question for you. Do you love me? It really all boils down to that. I got to reading back through the passage here and I realized that when he comes to the Apostle John, John's given this great revelation. But I wondered why. The Bible said because he loved much. He's the one that laid his head on the chest, the breast of Jesus there at the Last Supper. And he's the one that the Lord gave additional revelation to him because he was so close to the Lord. Because he seemed, of all the apostles, to capture something that we could learn from mothers today. And that is that oftentimes there's a lot to be said for a mother's love that is able to overlook the inconsistencies of people in the family. I don't know if you know this, but most of our families have at least one or two that don't quite fit the mold. I'm not saying that you condone unholiness or unrighteousness, but I'm saying sometimes love sprinkled with a little graciousness can go a long way. Sometimes we don't have the ability to forgive other people because, not because we don't know what the Bible says about it, but because the love for him, the Lord, doesn't exist enough for us to be able to do what the Bible says. It's not in the letter of the law. The answer that we're looking for today, the absence of love, the absence of charity in your life is like water on a fire. If that stays out before long, you know what happens? The fire goes out. The absence of charity in your life will cause the fire that should burn in there and cause the natural substance, the water, to flow out of your belly. You know what happens? When you pull charity away, that's how you then enforce or give it to other people. When you pull that out, you know what happens? It's like taking a bucket of water and throwing it on that fire and throwing it on that fire until the fire is extinguished. You haven't lost your salvation, but you went to the far country. You haven't lost your salvation, but you denied the Lord. You haven't lost your salvation, but you deserted him. You haven't lost it. You say, well, preacher, it's just because I'm clinically wicked and I did things that were wrong. That may be true, but one of the things that holds you spellbound to him is the fact that I love him. I go to church because I love him. I read my Bible because I love him. I pray because I love him. I sing because I love him. I listen to preaching because I love him. I'm doing it because I love him. Nothing else will bind you to him and help you overlook others more than that act of charity. Let's look in the Bible, if you will, if you're there in 1 Corinthians 13. Let me just show you a couple of things that charity is. I might say this. It has something that is excellent about it. In verse number 1, you find this out. I just wrote this down as a brief outline. It's better than a ministry of just words. Do you see that in verse number 1? Look in verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, man. That's saying a lot. He's not just talking about a different language. He's saying, man, if I had the ability to be blessed with the gift of speaking, you know what he says? If I don't have charity, it's better. I think sometimes, I've been saying this frequently lately, we've forgotten the idea that people sometimes need more to see a sermon than they do to hear another sermon. Sometimes too many words convolute what God's just trying to do. No words are spoken when your heart is moved to move closer to God. Secondly, if you're taking notes, it's better than having all knowledge. Look in verse number 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith and can remove mountains. You know what he said? It's nothing. Charity is better than having all knowledge and better than having mountain moving faith. And it's better, look in verse number 3. Some of you need to maybe grab a hold of this. It's better than any and all service that you can ever do.
Charity stands head and shoulders above any act of those things that are in the first three verses. That's Paul setting the precedent. He's laying out the formula for what charity is going to be. In the next few verses, he's going to show you an exhibition of that. How do I exhibit these behaviors? Well, I have a note in my Bible that says this is God's mind on paper. And then I go to Philippians and he says to me in the book of Philippians, he says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now I realize that's the mind of a servant who humbled himself and so on and so on. I understand that. I understand God giveth more grace to the humble, but he resisteth the proud. I understand that. So if that's the case, there must be some backbone, some structure that the Lord would provide to give me an idea of how he thinks. And so I come to 1 Corinthians 13 and I see it in a little bit of a different light. When I gaze upon it, I'm thinking to myself, wow, if that's how he thinks, I can definitely see how he has exhibited that toward me. Now two things remain to be said, or questions need to be asked. Number one, have I exhibited the same thing toward him? And secondly, have I exhibited it toward others? If it's the way God manifests himself to me, should I not then show others Christ in me by manifesting it to others? Well, isn't that what a mother does? A mother does oftentimes more with a hug and affection and with fixing the boo-boo than a dad does by screaming words of discipline. I'm not saying discipline's wrong. I think you have to have the right balance of both of those things. But oftentimes, moms, I'm not making light. They're more known as the pillow to land upon, and dad's the concrete they fall on. Moms can have an edge to them, and moms can know what needs to happen when it comes to correction. I understand that. But a lot of times, even grown men that I've known, they don't run to their daddy in trouble. They run to mama. You say, why? Mama has a way of listening and understanding, and maybe even if you're wrong, giving you the benefit of the doubt. That's what mamas do. I think that's what the Lord does sometimes. I don't know how he's able to properly and appropriately balance how it is that when you come to him, he knows you're wrong. And he sits there and listens to you make those excuses. And he loves you anyway. When you know, he knows you're lying to him. And he just lets you lie. And then it's like he just kind of looks at you and he goes, well, I love you. What an idiot. Does he not know I know everything? Yeah, but he's my boy.
Amen.
I'm not done with him yet. He ain't grown up all the way yet. He'll get there one day. You ever wonder why the Lord doesn't transform you immediately after salvation? Can I give you the answer to that? See, that's a deep theological question. No, it's real simple. Do you know why? He wants to know if you love him. Because love will change your heart. You ever act crazy when you're in love? Y'all don't know what that's like? I'm going to put some of you guys who don't think Mama's Day is a big day, I'm going to put you on the spot. You know what? When you're in love, you go like pick flowers out of the median. And you leave them on her doorstep at 3 o'clock in the morning. So when she walks out in the morning, love is like you write stuff on lipstick on the mirror and hope to God nobody takes a picture of it so that they see the soft side of you. Love make you do crazy things. It makes you overlook all the faults and failures of other people. I'm just trying to demonstrate him. I know you think I'm talking about you. Some of you have already taken it personal. Could I say this to you? Isn't that what he does?
Amen.
You know, how much did he love you? The old adage is, he only loved you this much.
Amen.
Father, forgive them. Let me show you a couple of demonstrations or exhibitions here. Look in verse number 4. It's expressed by, verse number 4, suffering long. That's called long-suffering. It's the fourth fruit of the Holy Spirit over there in Galatians chapter number 5. long-suffering. You say, what is that? Well, is he long-suffering with you? Amen. Could I ask you this? Are you long-suffering with others? See, I don't have to be long-suffering with people that I really like. It's them other ones. Can I get a witness? Long-suffering is not tried when I got some skin in the game. It's beneficial to me to be long-suffering with people that care about me and that I care about and those kind of things. It's beneficial to me. I get something out of it, a repercussion, right? Reciprocal, is that right? Okay, but the long-suffering there is, what about all the ones you don't like? You say, why? Well, just put yourself in here and how God sees you. Isn't he long-suffering? For me, that's one of the greatest attributes that I see manifested on a regular basis. Look, if you will, please. It's kind. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? You're in the Bible, right?
Yes.
Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath. Could I ask you this question? Would you say it's a demonstration of kindness, of his kindness to you, that he would forgive you?
Yes.
Can you demonstrate that kindness to others?
Amen.
See, long-suffering is ahead of that, because that's a difficult thing to do. Look, if you will, please, going on down in the passage, just doing expositorily, it envieth not. You know, envy is a bad thing. I have a whole message on that thing. Envy is you can envy somebody's position. You can envy somebody's reputation. You can envy any number of things. You know what that thing, the Bible says that it lusteth to envy. That means I have an inordinate desire to get what somebody else has that I think I should have. But the Lord doesn't envy you. But we have a tendency to envy others. You ever envy somebody's happiness or what you think is happiness? The fact of the matter is, you may not really know what's going on behind that facade that you see. They may appear to be happy. Oh, they may look, they live in the big house and they got a nice cars and, you know, they got a big job, and you're thinking in your mind they must be making, but you don't really know. And you're thinking, you know what, if I had a life like that, boy, if I had a job like that, if I could, you know, do this and that and the other, if I had... Do you ever catch yourself and go, you know something? Why am I even thinking about that? I should just be glad to be who I am.
Yes.
Thank the Lord he made me who I am. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You say, what? I don't have to be like everybody else. But look in the passage. Again, we're talking about God's mind on paper. Look at what he says there. He says, vaunteth not it. That's tough, isn't it? You say, what? You're taught nowadays to brag on yourself. Nobody else will. Tell everybody what you've done. But the book of Proverbs says, let another man praise thee. Doesn't say there's something wrong with praise. It says when you're trying to gain it for yourself, he just says, not puffed up, vaunteth not itself. Those two can kind of go synonymously, because I wouldn't be lifting myself up if I wasn't puffed up. Right. You don't need to worry about that. Here's what happens among Bible believers oftentimes. You know, we'll have a tendency to say to the ladies that sang today, all of them were exceptional. Justin, exceptional. Everybody, exceptional. Great job. Great piano play and all this other kind of stuff. But I'm not trying to puff you up. You know what you just did? You just let out that if somebody gave you a compliment, that it would puff you up. You don't need to worry about that. If they get puffed up, that's their problem. But why would that keep you from giving someone a compliment if it was a blessing to you? I got a blessing out of all the singing. I got a blessing of hearing y'all when we see Christ. I got a blessing. I got a blessing out of seeing Brother Sam up here flopping around in the air and trying to lead you and trying to get you. That's not his nature. He's trying to get you to sing. And I got a blessing out of that. I got a blessing out of a bunch of men coming up here, grabbing some stuff and handing out coffee cups to ladies. That's a blessing to me, man. I'm about to come out of my skin. I know it looks a little self-serving, but I wanted to stand up and just holler. I was going to kick this morning, but I thought I'd kick Russell in the head, and then we're going to have to call rescue and that kind of thing. But I got filled up. And then I looked at the people that are here today, and I got filled up, and I got excited about that. Imagine me saying all that and then going, now I'm not trying to puff you up.
Yeah, that's good.
No, I'm glad you're here. and I'm complimenting you. I don't have, it's not being, I'm trying to get something out of you. I'm saying you were a blessing to me, but I'm not going to hold that blessing back, because here's what happens. I'm not going to tell somebody else they're a blessing, because nobody tells me I'm a blessing. Am I telling the truth? When's the last time you did that? You know what it'll be? It'll be your enemy that'll be singing a song or preaching a sermon, and the Lord will use them, and you'll be like, God can't be. You know, even the devil can preach truth without unction. Had to have been the devil. Couldn't have been God on them. I'm not going to tell them they were a blessing. You say, why? Because you love yourself more than you love the Lord. I'm not going to say anything. You say, what? Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. The Lord never lifts himself up and says, I'm that and a bag of chips. He says, I'm thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled myself and became lower than the angels, and learned obedience by the things I suffered. And how's that for love? Isn't that where it started? For God so loved? Boy, if that wasn't charity, I don't know what was. But notice, if you will, in the passage, when I began to read this, I got it written here in my Bible, right here. I've got it written down in my Bible, God's mind, God's personality on paper. But I'm saying that not because I've just read it. I've experienced this from Him. He's never one time bragged, even in an effort to put me down. After all I did for you. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. After what I sacrificed for you, after what I gave for you, here it comes, man. Here comes the arm bar, here comes the straitjacket. He never does that as a motivator. He never says, hey, look at all I did. That's puffed up. You know, a real mom doesn't do that very much. A real mom just puts the dinner on the table, and when's the last time you thank mom for the good meal? No, you just expect her to do that and the dishes. Of course, what moms do. Listen, if you hadn't had a mom, even if she wasn't a good mom, if you hadn't had a mom, can I say this to you? You wouldn't have been here, and you would have never got to trust Jesus as your Savior and spend eternity with Him. Hey, mom, thank you for that. May not have always been everything down here on the earth, but sure appreciate you birthing me. I bet you the first 7 or 8 years of your life, you don't remember how good or bad your mom was. You just remember when you got to be a teenager that she didn't like what you were doing, and now all of a sudden you don't like the mom that you loved that took care of you. Have you given her credit for the 7 or 8 years that she took care of you and then continued to take care of you until you got married or got out of the house or got stupid? And then comes Mother's Day and Christmas and Thanksgiving and continues to have you kind of in the rears, aren't you? Don't you still owe her a little bit? If you appreciate anything I do, you know what you should do? You should say to that camera, thank you, Miss Peacock. I appreciate the time that you spent putting that into that boy. Amen. You say, well, she had something to do with it. Amen. She's a good woman. You ever stop to think, Mom, hey, Mama, listen, I should don't shade it. Don't go in there and say, now, Mom, look, I'm not saying you did everything right, but thank you for what you did do right. You ought to have your jaw slapped. Amen. And they ought to be so swollen that when you get the lasagna to pass your lips, you can't swallow. Amen. Amen. You ought to have your jaw slapped. I pray that you will have kids like you were to your parents. Hallelujah. That'll like put a little bit of snap in your wrist. I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute now. Hold on. Yeah, see, the only reason you think that's because you think you were a perfect kid. Well, I hate to tell you, the jury's still out on that. Mama just loves you enough not to tell all the bad stuff you put her through.
Amen. Come on.
Just trying to use my past over me. Shut up. They had to live through it. You forget that, though, because you're perfect now. I was not trying to rebuke you, but you know it's a strange thing? The Lord never treats me that way. He doesn't keep going back and reminding me. Now, you remember when I forgave you that? Amen. Remember we've been down this road before? How many times have I told you, stupid? He ain't like that. I hate to say that sometimes we judge motherhood too often from the teenage years until the years that they're moved out, and nobody takes into consideration what it was like when you were like a stinking boat anchor or a leech, and you were attached to mama all the time, and mama was having to feed you, and mama was having to wash your clothes, mama was having to change your diapers, mama was having to clean you up, mama's having to pick you up, mama's having to put you down, mama's having to care for you when you're sick, mama's having to, where's daddy? He's working. Mama ain't doing nothing. She just stays home with the kids. Have mercy on my soul. And then when the kids grow up, guess what? Because you're spiritual, mama's now going to be a teacher. What are you going to do? You're going to work, daddy. And now mama has to learn a whole new career, not only to try to be a zookeeper and take care of the kids. Now I got to learn how to teach these animals something. And mama's going to be at fault if they don't learn. Help me, Lord. I mean, that's like, man, are you kidding me? You want me to teach and then be responsible if they fail? And you get a break, you get to go to work. I have to talk to these idiots every day. And your husband comes home, you're like, I'm so glad to see you. What's going on? Oh, nothing, honey. Just the same old. But I tell you what, in the morning, I'll go to work for you. I'll put my hair in a ponytail and put a hat on. I'll be you tomorrow. You stay here. And then come in and have the audacity tomorrow and say, what's going on? What'd you do all day? I was a mama all day. You know what I've learned? I've learned mama don't quit being mama. Even because of an age barrier. Can I just say, mamas oftentimes, they're not puffed up. They're not lifting themselves up. But sometimes it might be good if we give them the praise they deserve. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sometimes men think, oh, it's an easy thing to do. That's why he didn't make you a woman. Amen. You say, why? That's the toughest job on the planet. You say, what? Being a woman. Ladies, I'm throwing you some accolades. You know what you could do? At least give me a little support. You can go, amen, it's a hard thing to be a woman, that's right. You've been raised in this generation. I am woman, I am strong, hear me roar. No, I'm woman, help me Jesus. That's what you need to say. I know you women got a lot closer walk with the Lord than the men do. You know how many times the Lord, even though he's covered up with 12 apostles, he's dealing with women, with women, with women, with women, with women, with women. I think he has pity on them. It's like, hey, sorry, somebody's got to bear the burden. Eve sure messed things up. Now I'm going to do my best to try to help you out. He's here to help you out. But fellas, you could do something. Sons and daughters, you could do something. You can do something nobody else can do. We have people that like us. We have people that love us. We have some people that they're like adopted kids to us. But it ain't the same as when their own kids say Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is the holiday put out by the Hallmark card factory, and they done that to be because they're materialistic. Hey, stupid. It's Mama's Day every day. She took on the responsibility after you enjoyed the pleasure. Carried a bun in the oven for 9 months. Help me, Lord. And then screamed her head off. While you, if you are stupid enough to be in there, you're going, shh. Everybody's going to hear you. Oh, you ain't kidding. They're going to hear me. You better put me in a soundproof room, son. Amen. And then all of a sudden, out comes the baby, and y'all are like, whoa, what's the matter? Oh, I feel like I'm going to pass out. How you think she feels? She is in pain. There's blood everywhere, and you make it about you. I'm feeling a little nauseous. I'm feeling a little sick. I don't know. Hey, here's the baby. Oh, could you wash it off first, please? Here's the scissors. Clip the umbilical cord. I'm not a doctor. It's okay. Just scissors. Just clip it. We make them like first grade scissors. So all you have to do is just squeeze them and pinch it off. Pinch it off. Your knees go underneath. It's like, oh, Lord, help me. Did I hurt him? Well, no. Why is he crying so much? Because he saw you. He senses something's in the room that's different than's been there when he was safe in mama's tummy. Help me, Lord. I'm not for somebody puffing themselves up, but I think sometimes those that do, instead of being gotten onto, maybe if we spent more time complimenting them, maybe they might not do so much of it themselves. We better hurry. Look, if you will, please, in verse number five, doth not behave itself. That's indecent. Ain't that how mama is? I mean a good mama. Ain't mama the one that says, hey, you don't look right. We go into a wedding, we go into a funeral. You don't wear that to a funeral. It's disrespectful. I know you kids are like, yeah, I ain't doing that. Then you have kids and then you're like, oh no, you ain't going out of the house like that. You raised in a barn, but you've lost your ever-loving mind. You are not, well, mama, you don't you tell me what I did. I'm telling you, you ain't, I pay your bills. You put your feet under my table. I will starve you, slap to death. You get in there and change those clothes. That's the same one that's like, my mama always up in my business trying to tell me how to dress. She paying your bills? You better be glad. You say, why? She doesn't behave herself unseemly. She cares about you, stupid. She knows off the bat that you're out among a bunch of dogs and wolves. Don't make yourself bait. Maybe that woman knows things you don't know. Older woman, older than you, because she had you. Oh, well. I like this, seeketh not her own. You're not uncomfortable yet, are you? Ain't that a mama? What's the old saying? If there's six pieces of pie and there's seven people, mama's going to go without. That's the old saying. The new saying is, somebody's going to have to divide their piece with somebody else. Mama's getting her piece of the pie. But the old way was, y'all go ahead and eat, mama will do without. Isn't that what the Lord does? I like this one, not easily provoked. Ooh, that's a tough one. Ain't it? You say, why? Some of you mamas, You're like nitroglycerin. You're just waiting to go off. Nitroglycerin used to come in a little small vial. Not the tablets. That's stabilized nitroglycerin. The other nitroglycerin, if you just tipped it just a little bit like that, that stuff would explode. It was an igniter. Nitroglycerin is a very dangerous igniter. And sometimes we walk around with our feelings right here. You know about feelings, right? I'm not going to sing it, but we know about them, right? And so all of a sudden, guess what happens? Something happens, even if it's justifiable. And we go off like a Scud missile. And then all of a sudden, the reputation of you as a mama goes down the tube, and now you're equated with that one moment that you lost it. I can say this to you about the Lord's attributes here. Could I say this? That when it says not easily provoked, I have to apply that to the way the Lord is with me. There is no reason, there's no justification. And I cannot tell you how many times I know I have poked the bear. And I'm so glad that he's not easily provoked. Notice I'm trying to hurry, thinketh no evil. This has to do with how you think about people, make your mind up about them before you ever even hear the whole matter. Get undecided. Mamas don't do that. I don't think it's right to be a wicked mama. I don't think you ought to be like the people down south here that the boy came home after committing an atrocious act and mama helped wash his jeans and give him a shower and all that kind of stuff. She should be in jail right there with him. I'm not talking about, that's not what I'm talking about. Surely you know that. A good mama would say, son, I'm going with you to the police station. And I'll be there with you in the trial. And I'll come visit you in prison. But you think I'm going to help you cover up murder of a young girl? You've lost your state. That ain't a mama thinking right. Mamas don't think that way. But thinking no evil has to do with, what do you think about other people? Does the Lord ever give you the benefit of the doubt? Let's see if we can sweeten it with verse number 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. I like that. But here's the Lord. Is he happier when you obey the truth or when you do wrong? How come the opposite is true on earth? Do you like to hear when another Christian fell? Especially if he was your enemy? Do you like to hear when another church messes up and goes through a split? Do you rejoice in iniquity or do you rejoice in truth? Which is the one that gets more accolades from you? Do you rejoice in the truth of the Bible that he gave you? Charity is expressed in your treatment of others, not just in your performance or pressuring others to perform. It's how do you treat other people? Let's look at its endurance. Look in verse 8, and I'll just give you this real quick. Charity never fails. Gift cease, knowledge cease, faith and hope are present. Charity is supposed to be the one thing that never ceases. I'm grateful that the Lord has that in his personality toward me. I've seen mamas do that sometimes to a fault. They just keep forgiving. They just keep forgiving. And just keep forgiving. You know what he says there in the passage right there? He says it never fails. In other words, I can count on it. It's a sure thing. I think when I get to heaven, I know I'm trusting the blood of Jesus Christ. I understand it's my salvation is his salvation. It's not my salvation. But I think that one of the things that maybe gets missed is the demonstration of that is your eternal security. Because your eternal security never fails. You know what he did? He fixed the thing that when he saved you and I, he fixed it where he couldn't back up on his own word. He fixed it where he gave you and sealed you to the day of redemption. Now think about the mind of God when he did that. He said, you know something? I'm going to take a faulted Christian, a faulted person, and let them become a faulted Christian, a saved person. But you know what? They're going to keep messing up. So if I can't eradicate their sin nature, how can I fix it? Because otherwise they're going to be going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth offering sacrifices and all that. Now that I'm the sacrifice once for all, and now they're out of fellowship with me, how am I going to be able to fix it? He said, you know what I'll do? When they trust me, I'll just seal them to the day of redemption. Boy, what a demonstration of charity. You say, what is that? It never fails. You need to understand that some of you that you have a hard time forgiving yourself for something that you've done, and you're always trying to in your mind go, well, how could he forgive me of that? Because it never fails. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, or it doesn't cleanse from any. The blood of Jesus Christ forgave me past and present and future. That's not an excuse to sin. That's in the truth, whether you like that truth or not. Well, I don't like how people use it. Yeah, but it's not your charity. It's his. Amen. Well, I don't think the Lord should have, but he did it for you too. Amen. Listen, just because you haven't messed up doesn't mean you won't mess up. He insured you against future mess ups. You say, why? You got no idea what you might do tomorrow. Amen. You're acting as if you know I'm going to always be like this and I'm going to always have it together and I'm always going to act right. And then the Lord said to the devil, I heard what she said. I heard what he said. Just know this. You can't touch their soul. Well, the devil said, you heard it. I'm going. The Lord said, okay. You say, why? That charity never fails. Amen. He keeps his word whether you keep yours or not. Amen. Man, you talk about that. When you love to have that kind of love, you know what they call that? They call that soul mates. You're getting in a minute. My soul can't be joined to your soul. But my soul can be joined to his soul. You say, why? We're soul mates. You know the thing about that is that he knows everything about me. He even knows what I'm going to do tomorrow. And he says, that's my boy. Yeah, I love him like a mother.
Mama's love tends to be able to see past those things. It seems to not fail. I saw a filthy commercial the other day. And it's interesting that it's playing at this time of the year. Please don't go looking for it. But it has to do with tomato sauce. And they're making this commercial about it. And some of you, because your minds don't run in the gutter, you don't even understand. But they're making a play on using the word that should be highly esteemed. And they're making a play on it and dragging it through the mud. And I thought to myself, boy, when you destroy that mother, when you speak disparagingly about that mother, you literally tear at the very fabric of society. You literally reach in and grab that thread and you pull it until you have literally torn that cloth apart. Because if you destroy the mother, you destroy the family. That doesn't mean you can't be a mama if you don't have physical children. That doesn't mean you're second rate. I'm preaching to all youngs that don't have children. You say, what? You can be somebody else's mama until you grow into it. And then if the Lord sees fit for you not to grow into it, He'll fill that. Paul didn't have no children. He wasn't too much of a slouch. Can I say this to you? If having children, and I'm all for children, but if having children is the epitome of Christianity, where's Pete's kids? I didn't say he didn't have any. I said, we know he was married because he had a mother-in-law. So you know he's married, right? I don't know what the Catholics tell you. I know he's married. He had a mother-in-law. You don't have a mother-in-law without having a daughter. You've got a wife. Where's the kids? Don't say, how about the rest of the apostles? Where are their kids? I didn't say they didn't have kids. I just said the Lord didn't use that as a mark of signs, wonders, and miracles. You hear nowadays because of Gothard and all these other people that you have to have a quiver full of arrows. What if my quiver only holds one arrow? Still a quiver. Just my quiver ain't big as your quiver. I got less headaches than you do. Don't tell me all your little demons are perfect. Not all the time they ain't. No, that's human nature. And do not be calling my mama and ask her what I was when I was growing up. You know why? Because what she'd do is, now she won't lie, but she'll probably say this to you. If you hadn't got something good to say, and that's probably how she'll answer it, and then you'll really be going. I like that. It never fails. Let me finish this up with this. I'm just a smidgen past 12 o'clock. Give me just a couple minutes and I'll be done. Look in chapter number 14. Because here comes an example. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. You know what he just says? What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to follow after charity. What's the example? I'm supposed to follow after charity. You hear a lot about follow after Paul. He's our apostle, right? You hear a lot about what would Jesus do and I'm going to follow Jesus. All right, here's a command. Follow after charity. The things I just gave you in a very, very small way. I could actually teach for about four messages on just these things because they all branch off into a multitude of things. But you know what he just said? He said to the church that was zealous about gifts and stuff, he said, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to balance all those gifts and all that ability and all that situation. You know what you need to do? You need to balance that thing out and follow after charity for a while. You just need to display the attributes of a charitable individual. You know, charity is one of those kinds of things that we often see. Look in Revelation chapter 2. We often see those individuals who were given something, some people would say for nothing. I don't really know that that's a true statement. Something for nothing. If you were given them their poverty, I'm not talking about people that don't want to work and want to live off the government. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people sincerely impoverished. I'm talking about people that don't have what you and I have.
So you know what they do? They take people like that and they take from individuals who charitably give to try to take care of people that are not as fortunate as they are. That's what charity is supposed to do. That's a demonstration. He looks around heaven and he looks around up there and of all the majesty that's there. He said, you know what? There's some down there that are less fortunate than me. I'm going to take from what I have and I'm going to demonstrate it and I'm going to give it to them. A purest example of charity is Jesus on the cross. You say, what is he doing? He's giving everything he has so that you and I can be a partaker. Well, I'm glad he's charitable. Man, I'm glad he's charitable. You say, what does charity do? Just trying to help out the indigent, the poor, the impoverished, the people less fortunate. Do you realize where you would have been? Listen, let me say you this about the devil, and we're going to read this thing in Revelation 2, and we're going to go get a sandwich or whatever we're doing, or dinner. But here's the thing. You do know that the devil doesn't own anything, right? You do know that everything that the devil tries to get, the Lord made. The devil is a taker. He's a thief. He's a robber. He doesn't own anything. He's trying to possess the earth. Who made the earth? Tried to possess the stars. Who made the stars? Tries to possess heaven. Who made heaven? The Lord made everything. The Lord is the owner of everything. You know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to move in and take everything. If there was two opposites, the Lord is charitable and the devil is envious and covetous. You know what he says? I want all the things that God made. They should be for me and they shouldn't be for... You know what you could have had, devil? You could have had that all if you'd have just stayed in the right position. But you chose to say, no, that don't apply to me. You know he still believes that today? You say, how do you know he's still around? He's been at my house for a few days. Literally, he's been in my car. You say, literally, yeah, like there's split foot right there. Got his foot right in the middle of my shoulder blades. He said, well, preacher, you're not the... Okay, well, I'm just telling you. I know he's real, but I know he's a thief and a robber. Yes. You know what charity says? Let me give you something. You know what he says to Eve over there in the garden? He said, that's fruit. The Lord made it, didn't he? Yeah, well, you deserve it, don't you? Why, you got to wait for him to come down in the cool of the evening and talk to you. You can walk around and be a god yourself. Get things out of order. Get things out of place. Get things out of timing. Go ahead, take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Now, you deserve it now. He put it there, didn't he? Get it. Go ahead and get it. Eat it. You deserve it. Saw the tree was good for food. Desire to make one wise. You shall be as gods. You don't need God. So what happened? She fell. Lord comes along. You know what he says? He says, you see that stone, don't you? I see the stone. Why don't you turn it to bread? You're hungry, aren't you? You deserve it, don't you? Why don't you get it? You say, what was it? It's a timing thing. You deserve it now. You know what charity says? You first. You know what charity says? I'll wait back here. You go ahead. You know what charity says? I'll sacrifice my life so other people can live. The epitome of charity. Let me show you this in Revelation chapter number 2. Just to kind of put an end cap on or another bookmark on this thing here so that you'll grab a hold of it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, we're talking about charity. Now we come to Revelation chapter number 2. And the Bible says this, and this is the church at Ephesus. He said, I know thy works and labor and patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience and my namesake hast labored and hast not fainted. Pretty good church, wouldn't you say? I mean, if you didn't read any further, wouldn't you say? I mean, they're busy, right? They're doing everything. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. What's the problem? You mean that having a relationship with the Lord is more important than all the things I do. We did for Ephesus. He said, you're going to remove their candlestick. He said, I got something against you. He said, you forgot the relationship we had. You've gotten so busy doing all these other things, you forgot. That's Corinth. Busy, 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 working, 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 doing, 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 thinking that the doing makes the being. And the Lord said, I have something against you. What's that? Thou hast left thy... Repent, therefore, and do the first works. Mama's Day is a great day of remembrance.
It's a great day to check and just see, do you love the Lord like you used to? Or have you just gotten so busy that He's kind of occluded or eclipsed a little bit? Can't quite see Him, make Him out like you used to. Remember how nobody had to motivate you before to do anything or say anything about the Lord? Nobody had to try to force you to pass out a tract or to talk about the Lord or to come to church or read your Bible or any of that kind of thing. Remember how before all the things that have now jumped in with all the bitterness and the anger and the wrath and all the things that have gone wrong and all of the things that as you have grown, you've experienced now life that has come along, and it's kind of eclipse thing because you got more caught up in what's happening to you instead of what He did for you. Maybe Mother's Day is a good day for you to say, you know something, I need to get back to basics. Preacher, what are basics? Just read my Bible and pray and study? No. Back to where you first met Him. I loved Him. Was enamored with Him. Caught up by the things that for me, as a 7-year-old, I'm like, wow, man, is there anything God can't do? I mean, I was just enamored. And I would say dumb and stupid stuff, but it was centered around the Lord. And, you know, and then life comes and you get busy and things overtake you and overwhelm you. And before you know it, you're even in the ministry and you're doing stuff, but that motivation has somehow or another left because you forgot what Mama did for you when you were a baby. And the love she showed you that allowed you to develop and become what you are, you kind of forgot. I'm liking that to the thing with the Lord today of maybe on Mother's Day that, yeah, you need to be thankful for your mother. But you might want to be thankful for the charity that the Lord has shown you acting like a mother. And maybe even though He's all male, you might say to Him, Lord, thank You for at times mothering me when I needed mothering. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, we are moved by the description of Your mind on paper this morning by seeing some of Your greatest yet rarely ever spoken about attributes pinned right in our Bible, right at the most carnal church there was, and reminding us that even as a church who is doctrinally straight and doing everything we're supposed to do, that we can easily be moved away by getting so caught up in what we're doing that we forget why it is we're doing it. I pray, Lord, that You'll please bless the service today. All the things that the little ones did, the Sunday school teachers that worked so hard to get the things done for the mamas. Lord, it might be a special time around the table this afternoon. Maybe You'll help us to be charitable toward those people that are gathered there. We pray, Lord, You'll bless this day. Bring us back this evening, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.